Good afternoon, dear friends. We're gathering together this afternoon to remember Jasmine Elizabeth Flint. Today we're going to celebrate her brief little life and understand something of the blessings that God can bring to other lives through a beautiful little angel such as Jasmine. And together we're going to seek God's consolation through His Word, and through worship and through prayer. We're going to enter into the loss and mourning of Jasmine's loved ones and people that are so important and to whom she was so important. And we're going to look to God's holy word as we worship together today. So on behalf of the family, thank you for coming today, and pray that through our sharing together, there will be comfort for the family, that they again will see that in the midst of tremendous loss, God's presence is there for strength and for consolation for them. Let me share just a couple scripture verses with you that remind us of where we find our help and the promise of God in the midst of this. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Will you join me in prayer, please? Father in heaven, we bow before you today, understanding a great sense of loss on this human level, in recognizing that heaven has gained, as this dear little one has been called home by her Lord. And Father, while we wrestle on this human level to comprehend, to grieve, to understand that there is total healing, total life beyond this life for Jasmine, Lord, we pray that You, who are the Father of all consolation, will come to our hearts today. May we have a profound sense of Your presence. May Maxine and Sylvia and others of the family have a profound sense of Your eternal arms around them, that You are with them, that You'll never leave them nor forsake them. Thank You, Lord, that You are our shepherd, and that as our shepherd, as we are sheep of Your fold, we will never need to be in want. Walk with us through this valley, please, Lord. You've promised that You will. We look to You for that promise. And may we know Your comfort and Your provision in every life here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're going to sing now The Old Rugged Cross. I believe it's in your bulletins. Some of you have bulletins, some of you don't. The Old Rugged Cross in the hymnal is hymn number 327.
On a hill far away,
We're going to ask Darnell and Deandra Landon to come, both cousins, to come and read some scripture at this time.
Hello. Are you the second cousins of Jasmine? The scripture I'll be reading is John 11:25 and John 14:1-6.
I'll be reading from the back of your bulletins. It's from Romans 8:35-39. If you can turn and read along. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, or darkness, or peril, or sword? It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for thy slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Through him that loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor power nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
John 11:25. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, like everyone else, will live again. They are given eternal life for believing in me and will never perish. Do you believe this, Martha? And John 14:1-6. Don't be troubled, you trust God. Now trust in me. There are many rooms in my Father's home, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. If this were not so, I would tell you plainly. When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know where I am going and how to get there. Now we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We haven't any idea where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. There ends the reading of his holy word.
We're going to have Mrs. Wendy Huggins come, another cousin, and read the obituary, followed by Brian Murphy. He's going to sing a psalm that's been requested by the family.
Hello, I will read a biography that was written by Jade Flint, loving sister of Jasmine. Jasmine Elizabeth Flint was born March 15, 2005. She was born to Errol and Maxine Flint in Baton Rouge General Hospital in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Jasmine has an older sister named Jade Flint. Jasmine lived on Hanks Drive with her mother, father, sister, and grandfather. Some of Jasmine's nicknames are Jazzy and Puntu. She was christened on October 2, 2005, by Father Rivet at the Immaculate Conception Catholic Church on Curtis Street. Her godparents are Steve Lewis Sr. and Amy Pereira. What Jade loved most about her sister was her beautiful smile. We are blessed to have Jasmine for the little time we knew her.
Jesus is my portion. My constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Yes, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. And I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I pray, for his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubt and my fears. I draw him closer to me. From care he sets me free. He watches me, and I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I pray, for his eye is on the sparrow. I know he watches me, for his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches. My Jesus watches me.
Thank you, Brian. What a beautiful rendition of His Eyes on the Sparrow. What a powerful message that God does watch over us, doesn't he? For those of us in the Markham area here as a church family, the news of Jasmine's death came as a shock to us. Grandmother Sylvia Campbell, through our registration card each Sunday, kept us up to date with what was happening in Jasmine's life, and was asking us to pray for different things in her life, surgeries and other things that were taking place. It was our privilege, my wife and I, to meet Jasmine a number of times, to be called to the family, the Campbell family home, when Maxine would come up often with Jasmine, and we'd join together with others for prayer for her during difficult times and surgeries and other things that she experienced. We realize the great sense of loss, the sadness that the family feel at this time. Children are a gift from God. Maxine and Errol have the privilege of having two children, Jade and Jasmine. And you see that Jade has had a part to play in this memorial service and in the other service as well by writing out her own obituary from her perspective and how she loved to see Jasmine smile. Usually, children anticipate that parents or grandparents are going to die before them. So the death of a child or a younger sister is very hard on a family. Our hearts and our comfort go out to you as a family today. In a few moments, you're going to hear some testimonials from great aunts and from others as they share the remembrances of Jasmine and how she has impacted them. This afternoon, I just want to briefly share with you Jesus' love for children and his provision and preparation for them in heaven. In Mark chapter 10, verse 14 to 16, we have these words. Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as those as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And Jesus took the children in his arms and he put his hands over them and blessed them. Jesus did an unusual thing in his time and in his culture. In the midst of talking to adults and ministering to them, he saw the importance of spending time with children. He elevated the value of children within an adult-oriented culture. And he said that the simple trust of a child is the type of attitude that's valued greatly in the kingdom of God. The scriptures are clear that trusting Jesus as Savior is a prerequisite to entrance into heaven. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." So eternal life in heaven is for those who have repented of their sin and asked Jesus to take their penalty. Jesus, through his death and burial and resurrection, becomes the resurrection and the life. In John 14, that Darnell read, not only does he prepare a place for us, but he promises that he's going to come back again. And he's going to escort us back to heaven with new resurrection bodies. One of the questions that parents sometimes think about, especially when their children are ill, is this. What happens when a child dies before they're old enough to make a personal decision to follow Jesus? Does the Bible give us any insight into this? And I believe it does. King David, who wrote Psalm 23 and many other psalms, was described in the scripture as a man after God's own heart. He had a close relationship with God and loved God. And yet, like so many of us, he sinned. His sin was a grievous sin, and a child was born out of adultery. Nathan the prophet came to King David and told him the consequences of his sin and what he had done. And he said one of the consequences of that sin is that that baby born out of the adulterous relationship would die.
David, knowing God and knowing that God was a God of love, fasted and prayed extensively until the child died. The servants didn't know what to do, whether to go in to see King David or not, because he was fasting and praying and crying out before God while the child lived. They didn't know how he was going to respond when the child died. They finally were whispering together, and David overheard what they said, and he says, "Has the child died?" And they said, "Yes, he has." David stopped fasting and praying. He knew that if he fasted and prayed before God, maybe God might change his mind. But God said the consequences of his sin was that the child would die. But here's what I want you to hear today. From 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, we have these words of David. He says, "I will go to him, but he will not return to me." So David assumes that his child has gone to heaven, and that in the future when David dies, he too will see his child in heaven. Today, Jasmine is in heaven. Just like King David's situation, heaven becomes closer to those of us who remain. When we have loved ones who've gone on before us, heaven becomes more near and more valuable to us. Many children in our world, you don't have to see too many programs on TV to realize many children in our world die at a young age. And their souls are in heaven, waiting to be united with a new resurrection body. Some children die of starvation, some of accidents, some of medical conditions. And God, as a loving God, has a place for them in heaven because they don't have an opportunity to be old enough to understand that Jesus died for them. I want to read from a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It just tells us just a little bit about this new resurrection body. In verse 20 it says this of 1 Corinthians 15, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him." So Jesus Christ is the one who died, was buried, and rose again, but rose again with a new resurrection body. He's the first fruits. He's the first one to have a resurrection body. But the scripture goes on to say there, then the end will come. Sorry, and then it says, when he comes, those who belong to him. And so when Christ comes again, we will be given resurrection bodies as well. Here's what 1 Thessalonians 4 says. "For the Lord himself will come from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet call of God." None of us will miss it. We'll hear. And then it says, "And the dead in Christ will rise first." Jasmine's amongst those, the dead in Christ who will rise first. Her body is in Baton Rouge. One day when Christ comes, that body will be reunited with her soul that is already in heaven. I only knew Jasmine as Jasmine. I didn't know her as Jazzy. That sounds like an interesting name. And I imagine that that was maybe a favorite name for the family to call her. But the scripture says that when Christ comes again, that Jasmine will receive a new eternal body. There'll be no more surgeries, no pain, no tears, a perfectly functioning body. What joy that must bring to our hearts and to the hearts of Maxine and Errol. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. Access to God, the Father in heaven, is through Jesus Christ, who says he is the way, the truth, and the life. Sometimes God waits a long time before he calls us to heaven. Sometimes it's 80 years, sometimes it's 90. More and more people these days live to be over 100. In Jasmine's case, she lived about 2.5 years here. Now, one of the gracious things about God is that God knows the future. He knew that many more years on earth for Jasmine might be very, very difficult for her. And yet God knew that even her short period of time here on life accomplished a great deal in the lives of people who knew her and cared for her. She became the focal point of much care and support. Maxine, her mother, tenaciously sought out medical treatments and advocated on behalf of her daughter, not only in the U.S., but also in Canada. God chose to bring out the best in people as they ministered to Jasmine and to her family. As we reflect on Jasmine's life and how it affects so many of us, let us also celebrate the Lord's provision of a home in heaven as she waits her new resurrection body. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your great love. Thank you, Father, for your provision for Jasmine in this special way. And Lord, I thank you that you love children. Thank you for placing them in such a special place in your heart. And we thank you, Father, that children bring such joy into families here on earth. What a gift they are. What a blessing they can be. Father, we would ask that you would continue to bring comfort and peace and support to Maxine, to Errol, to Sylvia, to Dalton, to Jade, to the extended family, Father. They sometimes don't know whether to cry or to rejoice. They have all kinds of mixed feelings welling up inside of them. And Father, I pray that they would sense your peace and your presence in their life in a very special way today. We thank you, Almighty God, that you have said in your word that you are the God of all comfort. And so, Father, I would ask that you might be the God of all comfort to them today. Thank you, Father, for so many who have gathered here in this memorial service to just be here to support the family, to say, we're here with you. We recognize your loss, but we want to celebrate Jasmine's life and how many people she impacted. Father, I thank you that you say in your word that absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So those who love you and have you as Savior and Lord, look forward and realize that death is not the end, but just the beginning. Absent from the body, present with the Lord in heaven. So, Father, we want to rejoice. You say that your angels rejoice in those that come into your presence in heaven. And so, Father, we want to rejoice with those angels who are rejoicing. We realize, Father, that one day you'll come again with that triumphant sound of the trumpet, and that our souls and our bodies will be reunited. We'll meet others that we've missed over the years, and there'll be a great celebration time of rejoicing around the throne of God. So, Father, we thank you
for the opportunity of being part of this memorial service and being able to host it here at the church today. We pray, Father, your blessing on those who are going to come and bring their testimonials now. Just be with them and encourage their hearts, we pray. Amen. Cecile Langdon is going to be coming first, a grand aunt, and Mrs. Armine Campbell. And then I think Cecile is going to kind of MC others that might be coming to pray or to say a few words on behalf of Jasmine and the family.
When we went to New Orleans for Jazz's funeral, my sister met me at the door and she said, there's a song that I want us to sing for the funeral. You have to find it, you have to find it. And with some searching, it took some searching, but we found it. We sang it at the funeral there. But the group lost some of its members due to illness in one case, and in another case she's had to be at work. So we've inducted a member of this congregation to come help us. Sylvia, are you coming? It's in your bulletin.
Can
you can follow
you
along. Sure.
I can sing beside Sylvia.
Sure.
Got a quartet going.
All right. All right. Are we ready?
Join us in the chorus, won't you? Father allow, will no one about it. Father allow, will understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it, all I am tonight.
Thank you. It is indeed a sad occasion, a sad event, that causes us to congregate here this afternoon at Markham Mission Church. We're congregated in this fashion on this day at this time. Time. What is time? Who has time? The concept of time is self-evident. When we think of time, we tend to think of the ways in which we measure the passing of time, such as a clock or a watch, or perhaps a measured interval of time. An hour consists of a certain number of minutes, a day of hours, and a year of days, but not of time itself. Rarely do we think about the fundamental nature of time. What sort of thing is this time? Time is passing nonstop, and we follow it with clocks and calendars. Yet we can't study it under a microscope or experiment with it, and it still keeps passing. I'm sure you're familiar with Jim Croce's song, Time in a Bottle. Can we capture it in a bottle? How often have you used the cliche, if I only had time? When I get some time? Or, I know I use this one often, there's not enough time in my day. Time flies. Time waits for no one. We talk about time management, but I ask you, what is it that we're measuring? My basic definition that would begin to answer these questions is that we're measuring the intervals between events using units that we've chosen for the purpose, but we don't have the time to get into all of the discussion. I can say, for example, that last week when my sisters and I were waiting at Chicago Airport for over 2 hours, we had a lot of time. Well, that was useful information to inform us how late the flight would be when it eventually arrived. It did nothing to describe what we were measuring. We want to know what the interval is. What is time? In other words, how does time flow? Only in one direction, from past to present? Is time a real dimension? Is there a constant universal time? Like I said, we don't have the time to answer all these questions. Instead, I submit to you what the Bible says on the subject. I heard my minister say this yesterday, and I'm going to use it. I'm going to provide you with the best information before leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E, what the Bible says on the subject. In Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 2. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to born and a time to die. It is true that some of us are given more time than others. Jazzy, as we affectionately called her, came to be with us for but a short time. The last time that many of us present here saw her, here in Canada, was this past July. She visited with her family to attend the wedding of one of her cousins. My last memory of Jazzy was how beautiful she looked in her dress, full of lace and flowers in her hair. She looked beautiful indeed, and I remember little Miss Jade commenting to me on just how much lace she had in her dress. She looked lovely on that special day in her beautiful dress. and she looked beautiful in her dress on October the 3rd, 2007. The difference between the two occasions, on the first occasion, she wore it to a wedding, and on the second occasion, she was wearing it to go to sleep. For that is how she looked, just like a perfect little baby, fast asleep. All of us here present will miss Jazzy, that's for sure. For even though her stay was short when measured in our concept of time, it was short but sweet. She touched many lives, directly or indirectly. Just look around. She came to fill a special place in our lives and our hearts. This is especially true for her immediate family, Maxine, Errol, Jade, her grandmothers, and her grandfathers. I don't think you'll disagree with me when I say that life is a demanding arena of pressures. And I submit to you that death, dying, is the only event that we can predict with absolute certainty, even though we don't know the exact time. But it's the most emotionally burdensome of all the pressures that we have to face in our lifetime. And if the person, the deceased, was a loved one who was especially close and important, the pressure of death is sometimes overwhelming. At this point in time, we don't understand why her stay was so short. But we aren't always meant to know the why. That's part of faith. But as the words of the song said, farther along, as time goes on, perhaps not until the end of time, not until eternity, we'll understand it by and by. And so, Maxine, I know her leaving creates an empty spot, an abyss in your heart and your life. It will take time to get used to. It'll take time to get used to the void. I encourage us to stay strong, looking to our Heavenly Father for guidance and direction. For when the pressures of life, the storms of life come upon us, He will make a way when there seems to be no way. Let us trust Him without fear or doubt. He is absolutely faithful to do everything that He has promised. At this time, I would like to ask the next individual to come forward with her testimonial. But before she comes, I'd like to say that at the end of this section of the program, my minister is in the congregation. And whenever a minister is in your presence, you ought to put him to work. So at the end of this section, I'm going to ask him to come forward and offer a prayer.
Good afternoon. My name is Hermin, affectionately called Aunt Pearl by my nieces and nephews. I had the opportunity of spending my vacation with my niece Maxine and her family in Baton Rouge. And on September the 17th, when I went to the airport here, when I boarded the plane, I was at the extreme back. So I said to the attendant, "Why, there is no window at my side?" She says, "Oh, they forget to put a window there." So I said to her, "It doesn't matter, as long as I reach Baton Rouge safe, that's what I wanted most." I had the time of my life, especially with Jazzy, who knew how to get her attention. You could not resist playing with her, picking her up, and the warmth you felt when she placed her head on your shoulder. You had no choice but to give in to her. The best comfort you could give her. On September 27th was her last doctor's visit. I went with her mother to the doctor, and I said, I want to push her this morning. So I pushed her, and we went into the doctor's office, which could be her last visit unknown to us. On September the 28th, our beautiful little flower fell asleep. I did not get my last chance to hold her, but I was never the same. Life dishes some hard blows at times. Which help us to realize we know not what the future holds, but we all knew who holds the future, and it's a secret only by him. To my dear niece, Maxine, you are a rock. Not just any rock, you are a solid rock. If there was any doubt, Jasmine reassured me, you are. Your patience, attentiveness, care, and love all goes without question. To describe it and to see it is totally different. I could never dare say I know the ache you and your husband and Jade is feeling, but do take comfort in knowing you did your best, your very best, and could do, and you could not have done any more. Just seeing you in your time of grief, going to comfort and attend to your patient, was enough to display your character. I love you very much and will always be with you. At Revelation 21 and verse 4, God promised all of us that he will wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be no more tears, no pain, no sorrow. The former things have passed away. And that is a promise. It is a promise from the one who cannot lie. It will come true. And I just want to say to the family members, my family, and Mrs. Campbell family and all friends, that keep heart. We will see Jazzy again. And thanks for all the wonderful words that the cousin put together to make your day a success. God bless.
The time is going by quickly. We can take a couple of testimonials at this time.
Greetings to all. I just want to share what I remember of Jasmine, to Sylvia and her family, Jasmine, parents, and Jade, her loving sister, who's not here. I remember when I met Jasmine for the first time, which was a prayer group meeting at Sylvia's place, and she was sleeping in this little baby carrier. I'm going to be short, so. And she was sleeping, looking peacefully, but all of a sudden, Jasmine woke up and started to cry. Cry she did. She had a loud voice, and she really yelled. That meant Jasmine needed attention. So her grandmother left and started to give her attention. And we were there just going along with her prayer meeting. Then after, before we left, we prayed for Jasmine. Her grandmother always requests prayers for Jasmine. This was the prayers from the prayer group, and I think the prayers from the prayer chain of our church, and for all the people in here, the members, and those who Sylvia met, prayed for Jasmine. Prayers was Sylvia's priority for her grandchild. I think everyone can agree with me for that. Anyhow, so we left afterwards, and then the second time when I met Jasmine was I'm a bit nervous because I'm a bit emotional now. The second time I met Jasmine was this last time she was here. And the grandmother said to me, make sure you come and spend some time with her. So I went and spent several hours with Jasmine. I was so glad because I didn't know this was the last time I was going to spend with Jasmine. So I went upstairs and I held her, cuddled her, and she's quite good. And then, you know, when Jasmine, when you start holding, she don't want it, she start throwing her arms around, her head around, and legs around, and you really got to hold her. So I thought, before we go down on the floor, let's go down on the floor with her. So I went down there and I played with her, keep her company and so on. Jasmine came in, Jade came in, Jasmine was rolling around the floor, and I said to Jade, is she like this? And she said, oh yeah, you better believe she's good now, she's good. So I stayed with her for a while and she dozed off and on. Then finally, to scare the life of me, Jasmine just woke up and started screaming to the top of her lung. Yes, she did cry. It's no mistake. You could hear it. So the grandmother thought, I better go and make some feed for her. So I was there with Jasmine. But you know, it was such a nice time I had with her, not knowing it was the last time. I played with her, I massaged her, and did everything I can think. You know, but it's sad when you see Jasmine lying there. You don't know if she's in pain or any discomfort. You know, Jasmine's lifetime with us was very short. But you know, her Heavenly Father knew that she came here and probably did the work she had to do. Not physical work, but probably did work with bringing families together, bringing friends together, those who meet her, and those who was with her mother that saw her. Probably this can be a testament to help someone in need that going through this and don't know where to turn. And as I said, it happened so that God knew her. She was a gift to the parents. I believe she did her time, and I believe it was his time that he should take her back so she would not suffer. And I believe, from what I heard, as she was sleeping, I believe her Heavenly Father stretched down his arms and picked her up and lift her to him. And right now I feel she's in heaven with her Heavenly Father. So we give God thanks for a short life and forget about what happened, because we'll never know. We'll ask ourselves why, but we'll never get an answer. But I want to share this with Maxine, and it's in Psalm 26, verse 5. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. And my dear, that's all I give to you, and I bless you and your family. I know you was a very good mother. You stood up there. I looked at you. You had the patience. You was just the perfect mother. I look and I admire you. And may the Lord help you to take us and transfer it to your patients in need. And you know, he will strengthen you, and he will re-energize you in his own time. And God bless you all.
We have a time constraint. Because we're going to be releasing doves, we can't do it any later than 4:30. So I've consulted with the senior pastor, and he has kindly agreed that we can, for those of you who wish to do so, continue with the testimonials when we go downstairs for the refreshments. So at this time, I'm going to ask Dr. Rogers to come forward and offer the prayer, and then we will have the closing hymn, the benediction, and then we'll go outside for the releasing of the doves.
A good thing about God is that you can always get him. You don't have to go through his secretary. You don't have to stand in line. In fact, the Bible says he's a very present help in time of trouble. From my family to your family, we extend our deepest condolences. From my church family to your family, I want you to be assured that we're praying for you. For you know, this must be a very difficult time. Let's just talk to God for a while. Heavenly Father, you know exactly what this family is going through. You've counted every tear, and you've weighed every emotion. And you recognize that it's only your arm that can sustain them. and for this we are truly thankful. We recognize, Lord, that sometimes the family feels strong, like they can face anything. And at other times, they're extremely weak. Memories come back, and they're reduced to tears. You realize that their life is going to be a roller coaster road for quite a while. But we're so glad that through the presence of your Holy Spirit, you will comfort and strengthen them. And so, dear Father, I ask in a special way, blessings upon Maxine and Errol. Let your Spirit do what only God can do. Let your Spirit do what only you know how to do. For we realize that doctors can only do so much. We realize that nurses can only do so much. But we realize that nothing is impossible with you. And so as we submit this family to you, and as you've allowed this young girl to fall asleep in you, we're asking, oh God, that since you don't make mistakes, that you will take care of this family. You will answer their questions at the appropriate time, but all now you will sustain them and keep them as they grow to this time of bereavement and pain. And so, dear God, we deliver this family into your care and keeping, and we ask that you would watch over them, you would walk with them, you would communicate with them, maybe through a scripture, maybe through a friend, but you will do it in such an intimate way that this family will know that you will never leave them or forsake them. And now, dear God, may your peace that you've promised rest upon them, we ask, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our closing hymn is In the Sweet By and By. Some of you have it in your bulletins. Others of you have it memorized. Others of you might just need to join us in the chorus. Sam Berry, our youth director, to come, and he's going to offer our prayer benediction, but he's also going to pray for our reception that we're going to have downstairs. After his prayer, we're going to be going out to the front
lawn to have the releasing of the doves, and then right after that, downstairs to the reception area.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father God, as we thank you for this time today, we thank you for the chance that we've had to come together as a family and as a community to remember your daughter, Jasmine. Lord, we just pray that you have your hand within our lives in these days to come, your hand of strength, your hand of comfort, and your hand of support. In your name we pray. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. As you go, go in peace. May the blessings of God Almighty rest upon you and remain with you all, both now and forevermore. May grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.